Warmaster Podcast, episode 11, with Paul and Barry.
Hello, and today's episode is all about chaos. The title is I Worship Chaos.
I Worship Chaos.
Why did you choose that title, Barry?
I was trying to find a song about chaos.
Oh, okay.
So I had to go far and wide. I think I found a cracker. It's not my cup of tea. So if it starts a bit funky, just bear with it.
Okay.
It's good.
So this is another one of our standard episodes where we're going to have, before we get into the meat and potatoes, we're going to then talk about chaos, why they're good, why they're bad, the game we just played, etc., etc.
Okay, so Paul, what have you been doing this week, man?
This week has been quite a good one. So, today is Thursday, the 3rd of March in the morning. And since our last recording, I'm just looking it up on my diary right now, I have...
We played Warmaster Wednesday. That's the
played Warmaster, yeah, so I played some Epic, or like teaching some more Epic, but we had Warmaster Wednesday at our gaming club, where we got... It was pretty awesome, actually. We got six players playing Warmaster on tables backed up in a line, along against each other, and all three games starting at the same time, which was handy, because I could be used for a rules queries if it was needed. I played against Alex, Barry, you played against Rodders, and Nick and Phil had a game as well. So in short, I was going to use Empire today in the matchup. So and Empire / Dogs of War is on my painting table, and that's Empire / Dogs of War is what I'm going to take to the doubles at the moment. So anyway, I want practice with Dogs of War stuff hasn't arrived yet. I'm doing it as a Pendragon order and GW stuff as well,
okay.
And the Warmonger miniatures, the big pole armed pikemen.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
So. I need to practice. I couldn't play them because they hadn't arrived yet. So I'm using Empire against Alex McGee, and mine was the quickest game. Alex McGee used his Tomb Kings, and he exposed his general. In a unit of skeletons. The general. First of all, he mounted the general on the dragon. That's not really. That's a tactical.
Cinematic.
Then he put it into a unit of skeletons that obviously helped win it, but he put it against cavalry, and they won the fight, but they couldn't chase the cavalry. And then the general's trapped in a unit of skeletons, which are quite squishy when you concentrate on them. And I managed to get a early on win by killing his general that way.
Okay. And the other game, I'll talk about mine in a second, but we had Nick, who's our Tomb Kings player as well, with the nice table, and Phil, who's building Bretonians, and they looked awesome.
Yeah, they looked amazing. I mean, he could paint them, they could either do them really colourful. I would do a Bretonian army, like a Templar army.
Indeed.
And in fact, he got some stuff from eBay, and that's what the person he bought it from had been painting them like. But yeah, that's going to look a fantastic army on the table. And he's gone knight heavy, so he's not gone minimum knights, he's gone...
Nine.
Yeah,
nine.
And what do you see? What he's using for Pegasus Knights?
I didn't really see him. I didn't want
to get. Oh, like he's managed to find a to scale model of a hippogriffin, and then he's put three on a base. Like, and it works. It's like if he can then get some knights on top of them, yeah. Pegasus Knights. There you go.
Pegasus Knights. So yeah, it was an interesting game. I'm not sure how much I like the colourful Bretonian style knights. I think I do prefer Templar because they look a bit.
Well, the Templar theme is taking something from history, isn't it?
Yeah,
so it's not Bretonian.
Is all multicoloured madness.
Well, yeah, because the individual knights have heraldry,
yes.
And their heraldry is obviously personal.
Yeah.
So you end up with a very colourful, very distinct units of knights who are all wearing different things.
Yeah.
But the Templar idea is a historical Crusader army look, which isn't Warhammer, is it? It's historical. But it looks well. I think the best army I ever saw on the table I loved was a Bretonian old Hammer army that was done as Templars, and they just look fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, it's almost kind of goes against the grain, having like individual models painted differently. Just no, I mean, I'm saying this is how Bretonians work, but in my mind I kind of like the everything to be standardised.
Yeah,
Templars are the way, for me, personally. And then, so I played my game against Rodders. We both used token armies. I used a Chaos Army, the same list I played against Paul Just, and he used Dark Elves, which were very good Dark Elves. But he had four units of Cauldron Riders, and they didn't get in the game, so that was a shame. He put me in one corner, failed three commands on them, and then the game was over before they managed to get involved.
Which can happen in Warmaster.
It can happen. And we also had Sherwin with us, watching the game, so that was interesting. We'll talk about that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I beat Rodders by rolling up a flank, basically.
Was it a big win, small win, was it?
Do you remember? I don't think I lost very much, but right. It's because he exposed a flank.
But you won by breaking him.
Yeah.
So big win.
I can't remember. He may have taken some of my units off. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So what are we going to talk about? Jim's email.
Yes.
We've been playing some things wrong, Paul. That's not a problem.
But not massive things. I mean, and in our defence, it's because we believed Alex. Yeah, we believed Alex.
You're not going to name and shame him, right? Sorry, Alex. Okay, so what had happened is over the 4, 5, 6 months we've been playing, we've picked up kind of things from other players. They've said this is the way
you
play.
This is inevitable because you learn a game by playing somebody else more experienced than you. And you can read a rule set, but it is different than when someone's teaching you, playing it as you're learning, and you pick up rules like that.
Okay, so we were playing that if you get charged in a flank or rear and you're in defended scenery, you don't count as defended. Well, that's wrong. You do still count as defended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's only going to matter for that first round of combat, because if you get beaten and pursued back, then you're no longer in a defended position. But it's a thing that I can't think of a game that I've played where it would have made a difference. But it's something we thought was wrong.
Well, it definitely would make a difference.
Well, no, I can't think of a game situation. Oh, yeah, example, okay. In a game that I've played, where it's like, oh, I wasn't, I didn't count as defended because I was. Apart from this one today, where my harpies attacked my guys on the hill that were defended in the flank. So
yeah, we did do that today. Yeah,
we did that. So that's the only time today I can think of where it's actually been a thing.
But it makes flank charges less attractive.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it makes defended stronger, which is good. Which is good. If you're worried about cavalry, stick your infantry in woods or nearby woods, so when they they retreat into the woods and the cavalry can't come after them.
Speaking about scenery, is that it's much. You need a dedicated like castle to be fortified. We'd be playing some ruins as fortified. They can be defended.
Yeah.
You don't have to be. I mean, ultimately, scenery is what you make it. But it's really the more we play this game, the more we're like. Well, as much as is it interesting to have a piece of fortified scenery? Probably shouldn't, really.
No.
Yeah, it's too good.
No, because the way we were playing, it's like the game last week I was playing against Nick, and he had maybe as many as 5 pieces of fortified scenery, area terrain. It was just like, whoa, I think I mentioned it. But they would have been defended, and that's a different kettle of fish.
Mm-hmm.
Hitting on a 6 is way harder than hitting on a 5.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And the final thing, we've been talking about hitting people in the flank, and I think I mentioned putting the minimum amount of stands in to be legal while holding the rest into support. The only thing I maybe wasn't doing 100% right is that you have to still contact the corners if possible.
Mm. That's right.
So, mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can, that probably means you have to put 3 stands in rather than 1, but it doesn't mean you have to go around the corner.
And something about pursuing, like we found today, which made us get out of a rule book, was that you're going to have to pursue. When a unit pursues, it pursues a unit, one that was fighting. And it's got to, put stands against them over stands against somebody else. So, like, in our case, you pursued some handgunners. You wanted to put stands into the artillery, but you couldn't, when you could put them into the handgunners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that potentially meant putting stuff around the front, which I didn't want to do.
You didn't want to. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, yeah, that was Jim's. So let's go slightly out of order and let's talk about the game today, Paul. Tell them about your list.
Oh, okay.
Because I think your Empire list has improved a lot recently.
So we're going to go through today's match and what and rate the Chaos Army first, are we?
No, we'll just do today's match and then we'll touch on Sherman's comments or whatever.
Okay, so can I grab my list?
Yeah, that would make sense.
So I'm getting some practice with Empire at the moment, and I went for 5 halberdiers in a list with 2 handgunners and 4 crossbowmen. So that's my minimum choices of 4 and 4. 2 flagellants, we have 2 skirmishers, so 1 skirmisher stand each. 3 units of knights, 2 pistoliers, a hellblaster, 2 units of cannons, a general, 2 heroes, one's on a griffin, and 2 wizards, and then some magic items to make it up to 2,000 points. That's my list. It's a breakpoint of 11, and its scouting value is 7.
Oh, it was good, it was good. So my list. I'm obviously playing Chaos because it's my turn to play the army that we're dealing with. So I had minimum Chaos Warriors, which is 2, minimum Chaos Marauders, which is 2, and everything else was cavalry or chariots. So we had 3 Marauder Horsemen, 4 Chaos Hounds, 6 chariots, we had 2 Harpies, General Hero on a dragon with a cruddy 5-point sword, and 2 Sorcerers.
Mm-hmm.
2 Sorceresses. Sorcerai. And that was me. So, what happened in the game, Paul?
So looking at the matchup of the two is like, Barry's gone cavalry heavy and there's a decent amount of scenery on the table. I've got, predominantly infantry. So I was like, well, I can use the scenery. I was quite confident. I thought it was a fair matchup. I was like, I wasn't going in that thing. Neither of us is advantaged or disadvantaged. I thought Barry's weakness was he had four characters, two of them wizards, and one of them was a combat character.
So I had one character.
So,
really.
Well, one you're going to use just for orders, position just for orders alone. Because if you're using those wizards, moving them around to give spells, they're not considering where they are for giving orders.
Yeah.
So I thought that can be a weakness as well, actually. Like if I can pull his characters out of position, he will leave chunks of his army that he can't order.
And that definitely happened.
Anyway, this game had a few key moments, basically. So Barry's got two units of harpies. Naturally, he wants to take on my artillery with the harpies because that is the range game that I've got, the longest range in the army.
Well, you've set that up so I can't do it in the front.
Yeah, so basically, theory came down last night when Alex tried to charge the same formation. Which is a similar setup to my dwarves, like as in I'm putting two units of cannons, a hellblaster, and a unit of handgunners in the front. When he frontal charged with some carrion, Toonkin carrying, the handgunners beat the carrion back and protect the artillery. So it works fine to the front. Very happy with that. In the game today, I saw that what Barry would want to do is flank them, and I failed my general like dedicated to do it. Failed on a 9 to turn the artillery brigade so they were front on to the harpies. So, and then I failed two wizards with a voice of command, which also would have fixed it. Yeah. So three sets of dice all failing. And thus allowed that artillery brigade to get flanked and it ultimately cost it all for really. It didn't roll it out.
It didn't cost anything.
Which is annoying, but I'd seen the problem and tried everything I could to fix it and it didn't. It didn't happen, basically. So,
but when you commit to a flank charge with something like flyers, if you put a dragon in, you're only taking one dice.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, I saw that was the weakness of like how I could lose these four. Saw it, anticipated it, tried everything I could to stop it. Yeah. Still, that's the thing. It's like dice are dice. And then I capitalise on that. I was like, well, that is a real shame. But if I kill the dragon in the unit of harpies in my next turn, that's taking one of his characters of four away. He's left them with a general and two wizards.
Yeah.
So I was like, then I can really start taking advantage of the fact that he can't control his army. And again, I failed all the rolls to attack those, to move my units to attack those harpies. So they did even more work on me. I'm sitting there thinking, is this going to be like our last game where dice have just stopped everything I wanted to do?
I think that same unit of harpies ate in the next turn
I was like starting to get frustrated by this, but I even said to Barry at one point, it's not me just being sour grapes, is this?
But finally you got the comeuppance, don't worry.
Finally, they bounced.
They charged in the third time they went in. They ran into the flank of some Empire Knights.
Yep.
So you've got three units of carrion, three stands of carrion and the combat character into the flank of one knight, and they bounced.
Yeah,
they bounced. And then they got eaten.
Yeah, and then it was all Empire. So basically, then I started rolling. Yeah, things went really well, and I dealt with my back lines then, and I presented a united front to Barry's six chariots coming in, and started. And I'd sent a unit of knights forward that took on two of them, which was quite nice.
He had three. I think I lost five chariots.
It was good. It was because my shooting's telling on his chariots. And actually, to be fair, Barry had failed the last order a few times, like to send the chariots in. So I'm shooting them. I'm holding them back with crossbow bolts. And then it started then to swing back to me. And my army's big breakpoint helped there. So Barry...
Yeah, and one guy running off into the wood, little halberdier.
Yeah. So Barry attempted to break my army then to go to 11, because now the attrition swing is coming back to me, is that Barry's... a big chunk of Barry's army is on his back lines, not going anywhere. And if I deal now with the chariots... I'll have all the time in the world to deal with the next thing.
Yeah, because I was having to start bringing up my Chaos Warriors and Marauders, which were hidden and defended. Mm-hmm. And so I had to send my general all the way back to come and bring them forward.
Yeah.
and I had 4 units of dogs, which really aren't there for anything other than breakpoint and skirmishy. Mm-hmm. So that only left 1 unit of chariots and 3 units of marauder horse. Mm-hmm. That's all I had left to fight with.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point.
That's good for me because I'm going to basically beat the offensive part, and then I can take my time taking dealing with the non-offensive part. But Barry got my break, and so the game ended 11-6. Time-wise,
I was in trouble.
Yeah, Barry's in trouble. I had 37 minutes left. Barry was on 8.5 minutes. So we played in time, but Barry was running out of time as well. That was also going to help. Basically, the longer this attrition on, that was all advantage pool then, basically.
Yeah, because then he started kind of retreating to the woods, as you would, mm-hmm. and just leave whatever stuff he had to leave out. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There was a chance I could have lost on clock again. Mm-hmm. And also, when you do lots of little, flank charges, so they're quite slow and drawn out, they eat up quite a lot of clock, just because of the nature of what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's not like one big rolling 40 dice. It's like rolling 6 dice a turn, mm-hmm. and then push back, 6 dice, push back.
So, basically, we ended up, it was a tight game. It wasn't all one way. I mean, it was hampered by some bad luck of me at the start, but then it swung back to me. I got a few breaks. So, it was a good game.
Yeah, I think if you discount what that one unit of Harpies did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They overperformed
incredibly. I'd go into that matchup again, say it was a tournament game. I'd be happy to happily take that on again and give myself a 50% chance of winning there. As in overall. My build, I was content with my build. It's one of those games where, okay, so I lost that, but, on another day, I could have won that.
If you'd have brought your artillery to bear on my chariots.
Yeah, which is what I was trying to do.
That would have stung.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not convinced about Chaos Chariots. I know everybody says they're the new hotness and that's what you should be using. It's like I'd rather have had Silver Helms or Empire Cavalry.
So that was the day's match. Basically, Barry ended up with the win. So are we gonna do the fluff and then we'll go through your.
So we had some comments last night by Sherwin who was watching the game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of them, to be fair, because he's trying to theory hammer this game a little bit, and you can't do that. Because until you play it, like I said, when you build a list and you go, oh, this seems fantastic, and then you try and play it, like I did today, was minimum infantry. But if things start going wrong and you start bunkering up, what am I going to dig them out with?
Yeah, so, I mean, just to give context to those who don't know the names, is that basically we're playing 3 games at our club last night simultaneously, and it's being watched by a potential new player who's a very experienced wargamer and very good at what he does, but he hasn't played a game of Warmaster. Hasn't. So that's the facts.
So from these kind of... It's worth talking about what a new player sees, because he's a new player and he's seen what he's seen. He's not making it up.
Yeah.
So things like movement looks very confused. You basically just measure and everything just blobs. Mm-hmm. There's no wheeling, there's no turning. Mm-hmm. So, that's just the way the game is. As long as the furthest stand doesn't move more than 30 centimetres and there's no gap less than 20 millimetres.
Something was said that movement isn't precise. Well, it's completely precise, actually. Yeah, but you don't need to measure every stand. You just need to measure the furthest.
Yeah, so the stand that moves the furthest needs to move within its movement, and that's it.
And then anybody else can move to base with that stand because they can't move. They're not moving further than they can move. In Warmaster, there's no wheeling. And that's confusing to people who expect there to be some.
Yeah, but also you've got to imagine that, I think we've talked about this before, an order is a long period of time. It's not 2 minutes mm-hmm. in game time. It's it could be an hour. I don't know how long it is meant to be in the game. How long is it meant to be?
What? Oh, time-wise?
A command. The time it takes for infantry to move 20 centimetres.
I don't think there's ever given a scale.
No, man, I think it could be a long time.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. It's certainly not a couple of minutes. And the power of flank charges. Now, me and Paul disagree about the power of flank charges.
Yeah, that should be stated from the start. Basically, I don't think that there is... I mean, I don't think there is a problem to fix, in a sense. But personally, and I just think that with the with the flank charges, it's just, this is part of this game. This is like, yeah, so I just going into this debate, I don't think, you know, easiest option is to do nothing about it, because I don't think that anything needs to be done.
So what Sherwin witnessed was me putting some chariots with a dragon into the flank of an infantry brigade. An infantry brigade just wilted under the pressure. But the problem is that you're losing a dice from being flanked, you're losing a dice from terror, you're not throwing any dice back and you're getting billions of dice in the side.
Yeah.
So, that's how the game's designed. But my concern is not that initial fight, it's then them being able to go into another fight, potentially unscathed, and do it again. Which is what I'm talking with Jim about, maybe, trying to sort out.
Yeah, I mean, by all means, like, because we've got this email chain, a discussion going back and forth about how you can errata the effectiveness of that, and as I said, personally, I don't think it needs to have it. But I mean, the only thing you can do is try playtesting it and see what you think.
We'll talk about it in a future episode. But basically, what it's trying to prevent is not the initial damage that a flank charge will do, but then the subsequent damage just to the next brigade they hit.
Yeah. I mean, and the retrospect to, you know, the strength of being flanked by cavalry. Well, that is probably the strongest like tactic to pull off on somebody. But there is defensive tactics about it. Yeah, and we talked about it last episode. You know, like, I listed some things you can try to mitigate it. But, I mean, it's not like, if you're playing, basically...
Well, maybe you just move slower and protect your flank.
Well, exactly. Don't expose... I mean, if you're... So basically, you in a game...
Put yourself in a regular formation.
If you're sending infantry unsupported away from the rest of your army in open terrain... You're asking to die,
to get flanked,
basically. Yeah. And the enemy's got cavalry and characters, and he wants to commit them. You're going to come off badly. But if you think about it, like, my lowly Empire soldier, who probably doesn't even have... Like, some of the models don't even have
shoes. I can't believe they don't have shoes.
Right? Doesn't have... Like, is not going to stand up very well to a heavily armoured knight who, well, we're onto that horse weight, it probably weighs around a tonne. You know, like, in like on momentum of him coming forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not... With my little wooden, sharpened wooden stick isn't going to do much. Yeah.
Well, they don't even turn around. They just take it. And anyway, so flank charges to a new player look a bit bonkers. But they're not particularly easy to pull off.
No. I mean...
It sometimes takes two or three orders.
I think it's one of these things that can be exasperated in... If you're outside looking in, can be exasperated because, well, that just seems like... too overpowerful. But it's like the nuances of the game is that it like for our games, for example, we've been playing quite a bit, like a lot of games. It's not, I'm not going to like present you an easy options with that. I'll make you work for anything you want to get. And that's experience in the game. I don't overexpose.
You don't give them like a single order.
You notice in my first turns that I don't order things twice, generally.
Yeah, why would you?
You're asking for trouble. Like, my big Empire army has its characters, and everything's going to get one order if it can. I'm not going to give two, or really, because I'm just overexposing it. And the same with dwarves. Like, they move together. And Skaven will be even more apparent, because it'll be take one order and move everybody.
One order on a ten, here we go, boys.
Yeah, boys, forward.
Here we go.
That's far enough.
20 centimetres a turn.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand how he was... he was just a bit... What was the word? He was a bit anxious about how to protect it. Because you could see he's not worried about how he's going to do it. How does he defend it? Which is what my concern is sometimes with flank charges. He was also worried about flyers. The fact that they seem very good, which they are.
They are, but no army can take many flyers.
That's one of the strengths of Chaos, is having flyers. Even though they're the rubbishy version, they're still good enough.
Yeah, they're still flyers.
They're still flyers. A flyer's a flyer. Yeah, and the shenanigans you can do with flyers. Yeah, you can, like, hoover up characters. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good tactic. You can position them so they're behind a combat you want to win.
Yeah.
You only just have to win it, and then you'll, like, kill the enemy.
You can stick them behind enemy lines to mess with leadership.
These are all things that are, like, completely there to be open to do. But you just, like, a good player will then make it tell... Or an attempt to make it tell afterwards.
Yeah.
So if you send your flyers in on some like to mess up my command, well, maybe I'll concentrate on removing the flyers in my turn.
Yeah. Yeah, but absolutely. And the final thing was the command phase. Again, this is something we talked about a couple of times. That if you come from outside, having to roll dice to make stuff do things feels wrong. It just feels wrong.
Yeah. There isn't another game system out there that I can think of.
Here, like. In your flank, And you can't do anything about it. You just leave it there, and next time it charges you, because you can't get an order to turn them around to charge them.
Well, that is like a core thing of Warmaster, isn't it? Like, yeah. that's what I'm saying, is that if you can't get your head around that, the game isn't for you. Because yeah. this is a core rule. Like, I can't think of another game system that has that mechanic, but I think it's one of its best things, its best features.
It's certainly frustrating when there's a guy in your flank and you can't engage them. I know you're going to get flanked.
Well, that is dice. That is what the game system is. This is one of the things that I can't understand why people say can take so long to play a game of Warmaster, because you're like, right, problem is I need to turn this unit. That's my best way to get the order off. But then, oh, I've rolled it, I've done it. Oh, I rolled it, I haven't. It's like, it's, you know, in that sense, it's not chess, it's checkers. You know, like, it's like, well...
But then you have to decide, is it so important that you want your general to do it? And then how early do you want your general to try and do it?
That's the thing's the debate, and that's risk management. But I just don't get how people can... I don't understand. I mean, in terms of a problem and a solution, it's quite simple in my head. I just don't understand how some people can spend so long, like, debating it. Like, we'll just do it, or don't
do it. It's the same in Blood Bowl.
Same in Blood Bowl.
I've seen people take an hour just as I throw a block. So, the other thing that Sherwin mentioned, and this is something that I've been thinking about a little bit, is what's the scenarios? What's to prevent you playing defensively? And there isn't a scenario. There's a death clock, as you rightly say, which creates another win condition. So there are now three win conditions, death of general, breakpoint, and the death clock.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you need scenarios or not. I think it might change the way the game's
it's
played.
Dangerous. I mean, it's dangerous territory going into it, because I mean, in Oldhammer, they would, like, a Warhammer tournament would have six scenarios. Well, actually five, really, because one of them wasn't playable.
Like Wizard Tower.
Wizard Tower wasn't playable. You know, like, because of the vagueness of the rules. But so you'd have five scenarios that you would normally roll up, but half the games tended to be pitch battle because it was the simplest. I hear what you're saying about scenario play, but again, I don't think it needs it, personally. You can create whatever scenarios you want to create, but I don't think the game necessarily has to have it, because it has a clock system.
Yeah.
Because if you're not playing... If this is organised play, I'm talking about. Like, casual, you can do what you like. But in organised play, if you didn't have a clock system, you could probably push more for scenarios. But that clock system alone, in my head, is a scenario.
But would it be better for games to end on scenario rather than clock? So the clock is like the finish all. It's going to finish now, whatever.
The clock system is there to sort out ridiculous play and has the hard finish for an event to run. Yeah, you know, it's a necessity in my head. I suppose the thing is, create some scenarios and try and play test.
Let's say I'm winning on scenario, I'm 2-0 up on the scenario, whatever the scenario points are, but I run out of clock, I'll still lose.
Yeah.
So it's not just a case of, you know, I've got to fiddle about and be 1-0 up in the scenario. I've got to win the scenario, or it will kill me.
It is tricky, because creating a scenario, will naturally favour some armies over another. Like, if you create a scenario where you've got to capture a piece of scenery...
I thought it was going
to
be, like the hill in the middle.
Yeah, like, what are Bretonians going to do about
that? No idea.
And
it's defended.
Exactly.
You just get dwarves on there with cannons and stuff. Yeah,
I think it's a whole can of worms there, and it would be very difficult to create a set of scenarios that are fair for all armies. Very difficult.
It may be impossible.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
That doesn't mean it's not worth trying, but it may be something that's not worth. It just can't be done.
Yeah, as with most things, like, the default, the easiest answer is to do nothing about it, because it doesn't need to be done. But as a thing, it's like, I'm not saying we wouldn't try it. It's just it's not. It would take a long time to playtest that correctly.
Yeah, so if anybody out there has got any that they've been using scenarios, I mean, I know the book's got like thematic scenarios, but feel free to send them in, and we'll post them up and try them out and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, feel that's free. A good way. Yeah. I mean, if somebody wants to send us one, we'll try it.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Right, so we've talked about today's match, now it's the fun time. Paul's going to tell you about the fluff that it's
Paul's going to tell you. Well, first of all, we have the appetizer that is Barry's interpretation of the fluff.
I've got no idea. Right. Seriously, I have no idea about
this. So this is Chaos. To recap, so
I know there are
Barry,
gods.
What is the fluff for Chaos?
There are gods. There are four gods.
What are they called? Like Jupiter?
There's Chaos. No, not Chaos. Korn. He's like
not for vegetarians.
Fighting, blood, fighting stuff. Slaanesh.
Yeah. What's he about?
The god of wine and song and women.
He's not a Greek god.
No. Gogs of nipple piercing. He's like a tattoo artist, I imagine, Slaanesh.
Right.
He's got like holes in his ears.
So we've covered Slaanesh. What's his colour? What is he?
Pink.
Pink, yeah. And then who we got left?
Nurgle's red. Oh no, sorry, Khorne's red.
Khorne's red.
Nurgle's like some shabby green kind of.
What's Nurgle about?
Oh, he's horrible, isn't he? All rotten. Nurgle's rot.
Nurgle's rot, yeah.
Like Deli Belly. Deli Belly.
Okay.
And that leaves another one.
Yeah.
What's that one? Oh, it's the wizardy one, isn't it?
The wizardy one.
The wizardy one.
the god, the wizardy one.
I only remember them because of some broken pink horror combo in fantasy. Pink horror. There was another kind of horror.
Yeah.
Pink, blue horror, they were. That's what so I've got no idea. Chaos never appealed to me in any system whatsoever. It's just like, yeah, whatever. They're just the bad guys.
Okay.
But no concern about them. I don't know where they come from. I don't know if they're human. I don't know what they are. It really is of no interest. But apparently they killed everything in the end, didn't they? Chaos.
Yeah.
Done, Chaos. It's your fault.
So shall I? All right. Okay, so...
But I don't worship Chaos. The song is I worship Chaos. I don't worship them.
All right. So the fluff for Chaos is as fun. You weren't all wrong. A fluff for Chaos. Basically, at the very north...
Where do they come from, man?
Yeah, at the very north of the old world is the Chaos Wastes. So, what are the Chaos Wastes? Basically, when the Slan, like, you know, was an... Right, this is really old Hammer fluff. Slan, who might be frogs, God knows, really, basically, who put the Lizardmen in the world and created the other races, they had, like, jump gates, which were very Stargate style.
Right.
Would move around, or Eldar, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, would move around from planet to planet by jumping in this gate and it would lead you somewhere else. The old world, when I say the old world, the world that the old world is in, the planet, has a gate up in the Chaos Wastes. It might have others, but they've never been found. Anyway, that went wrong. Basically, one time the Slan were like moving around, and whoops, somebody left it on, and it basically allowed Chaos, which is a from another dimension, to get into the world. So up north is really bad. Basically, once you go beyond the north of Old World, north of Kislev, north of Nausicaa, you're starting to get into the realm of Chaos, which is pretty messed up. Like it's like a trippy. A bit of acid or something.
Well, Lapland.
Well, things go wrong up there. Things defy like logic. Like stuff floats that shouldn't float, and like you get like clouds of rain that kind of blood and stuff. And it's like things defy physics up there.
We wouldn't go there.
Anyway, what you've got is an open portal to Chaos, basically, is want of a better word. Now the elves early on, the first great Chaos incursion, the elves that were, before they split into high elves, dark elves, managed to contain the Chaos Gates by using the greatest wizards of their time to like continually trying to hold it back. But it's like a tide. So basically, it ebbs and flows. So like you have more, it's weaker, like the defense against it is weaker and you get more chaos in the old world and sometimes it flows back and it's not. And slowly, it's been getting worse. So at 2 minutes to midnight, when Warmaster's set, it's at it's one of its worst periods of time. What that allows you to do is basically there's four Chaos Gods. There's tons, but there's four main ones. Four real ones. Khorne, god of blood and combat and destruction. Dzinch, the god of magic. Yeah. Slaanesh, the god of pleasure, and Nurgle, the god of decay.
Okay? So one of them's gone now.
We haven't got to that yet. All right, okay. So this is Old Hammer Fluff.
Okay.
There's five routes normally you take when you are like somebody who's into Chaos. You either go Chaos Undivided, where you like honor the gods equally or ignore them equally.
Yeah.
Or you go Mono God, and you're going towards one of the various ways. And what that allows you to make very characterful armies. In Warmaster, it's Chaos Undivided, really. Is what the Chaos Army is, and that's the mass of Chaos. Like the cultists towards a particular god are actually in the minority. The majority of Chaos is Norsican, like North tribes of men. So this is just men who are making the best of a bad situation, and maybe not inherently evil, but when they live in a place so messed up, that's the way you get by. Is by doing your duty to the gods and like keeping going. And I'll talk through what each of those things are when we come through the army review, what the individual bits are. So basically, Chaos is the ultimate evil in the Oldhammer fluff. It's no compromising with it. It's not interested in like negotiations. It's like it's destruction for destruction's sake.
You know, see, that's what confuses me, because I thought that was Khorne, destruction for destruction's sake.
But it is.
They're just the furthest along that line. Yeah, they're all
yeah.
bad.
Well, yeah, I mean, ultimately...
There's no good guy here.
Ultimately, all the Chaos Gods are jealous of their rivalries between the two, so they would want a complete victory in their god's name alone.
Right.
Yeah, that's the ultimate win state.
Okay.
But luckily, they spend as much time scrapping against each other as they do against everybody else. A Chaos incursion happens in the fluff because they all basically agree for a short while to concentrate on somebody that isn't for Chaos. Because most of the time they're just fighting each other.
Okay.
So the, say like the in the Chaos Wastes, they're like their population is mostly tribal and fighting against itself.
So how does it end for Chaos or the rest?
Well,
of
okay. So going into the End Times fluff, basically Archaon, who's Mr. Baddie, you know, like generic.
Well, what was he?
Okay, so
undivided.
So there's been notable Chaos characters throughout the history. Like Cole, the you know, like for example, or Crom, but the most recent one and the one that finishes it is Archaon. Now he was an Empire knight who was, I guess, disillusioned, didn't get enough hugs from his dad or something, and decided to go up north and you know follow the path of Chaos. Nothing new with that. It's kind of like when you take a gap year and go travelling, it just went wrong. Right? Okay.
This is the Grand Voyage. What did they call it? The Grand Voyage or something?
The what?
When you reach your... Yeah, I don't know, you became an adult and went and saw Europe.
Oh, okay. Gap year?
No, for posh people back in the day.
Oh, right. Posh people problems.
Yeah, posh people problems.
Okay. So, anyway, Archaon converts to Chaos. It becomes a very notable champion. Timeline's a bit vague because time flows differently up that far north anyway, so it's like...
It feels like that when you go up north.
Yeah, and...
still the 70s in parts of it.
And he leads a Chaos incursion, you know, into the old world, and basically nothing's going to stop in his way, because they've got a hell of a lot more... War is logistics, they've got a lot more numbers than anybody else. The only people that can match them is Nagash, who obviously has also got logistics, because technically he's got an infinite supply.
Yeah, unlimited.
If the old world had united all races against them, they could have done something about it. They didn't, and that's the problem. And Chaos wins and destroys the old and destroys the world, and leaving this jump to like nonsense Age of Sigmar fluff, which allowed like the game to continue in a weird sense. But yeah, so
bad. So now Slaanesh is dead, and the Horned Rat is the fourth one.
Yeah, basically, going forward, I think Slaanesh was a bit too un-PC
Risky,
like 2016, because it is a bit sadomasochistic and like gender non-specific. You'd have old like models that would have share both female and male looks, you know, like Slaanesh demons were like, you know, kind of these S&M style looking women generally. You know, like, anyway...
Whatever floats your boat.
Yeah, and that wasn't going to fly in 2016, so they binned Slaanesh, and they got Skaven, like, who are the children of Chaos, in a sense, in a weird way, to, like, be part the fourth Chaos God.
Okay.
That's who Chaos are.
That's good. I still don't know anything about them.
Okay, but you understand a bit more.
Well, let's just come from the north and smash everything up.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Right, strengths and weaknesses. We've got to do the army list now, so let's do the army list. This is easy. I'll do the first one, because the first one's good. Chaos Warriors, infantry, 4 attacks, 4 hits, 4 up armour. God, that's good. Size is 3, obviously, because of the infantry, 150 points, and a minimum of 1, no maximum, apart from them. Damn expensive.
Chaos Warriors are the men who have totally devoted themselves to Chaos. They get given a suit of Chaos armour at ye old Chaos shop or something. And it's like, and basically, they put on this armour, it fuses to their skin, they no longer need to eat or drink or anything, they're just like...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, no, they don't need that, because they can't take it off. That's the problem. In a really classic...
So they've got, like, colostomy bags and stuff built in?
Yeah.
They,
just
they don't do any of that anymore now.
Yeah, there's a classic series of books, the Conrad series, Shadowbreed, and, you know, like, and in that, in the it's really old writing, like 80s writing.
Right.
And in that, Conrad, a man from the Empire, at one point puts on a suit of Chaos armor and he can't take it off and it has to get Warpstone to get it. Anyway, it explains what Chaos Warriors are, really.
And they're good, is what they are.
Yeah, they are the best of the best. Yeah, at that point.
I mean, they're 150 points, you can't go mad with them, but they can dish it out and they can take it. Yeah,
four attacks, four hits, four armor, all the fours. I mean, you pay for it, 150 points, and you have to have two units, so that's 300 points tanked straight away, but you have the best infantry, some of the best infantry in the game.
Yeah, for sure. Right, what's next?
Chaos Marauders, infantry. Attack 3, hits 3, 5 up armor save, 3 units in a stand, and they're 60 points. And their min maximum is 1-0 as well. So you're going to have to take 2 units in a 2,000 point army. When I built a Chaos army, because I like to play a bit more fluff, Chaos Marauders are the thing in Chaos, and I went for a Marauder heavy army because I quite like to do that. But they are, they've got a standard profile.
They're just like higher spearmen. They're just bog standard.
Yeah, bog standard Chaos.
60 points.
If most builds, I'm guessing, like in Barry's build, he's done the minimum for infantry, so you'd have 2 units of them.
I did. Hid behind the Chaos Warriors.
Yeah. And Chaos Marauders in the fluff are just your Norskan tribe, so your rank and file. Yeah, guys with, no formal training, but like Vikings, basically.
Okay. Well, good for them. Ogres, infantry, 4 attacks, 4 hits, 5 up armor save, 3, obviously, because they're infantry, 3 units per stand, 3 stands per unit, and they're 105 points, and they have a maximum of 1, and they have a rule that if they can charge a human, they charge it.
Yes, because they like the taste of them.
Yum, yum. So not elves or dwarves, because they taste fishy.
Well, elves would taste too sweet, and dwarves would probably taste too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Humans taste like chicken.
So anyway, ogre, they're well costed actually. 105 points. You get you're only one armor less than a Chaos Warriors, and that's 45 points you're saving compared to Chaos Warriors, aren't you?
And you got that small negatrait, but it's not really a negatrait. It's
very situational, isn't it? Yeah. I think they're a good. I think they're very good investment actually, because they are maximum to 1, so you can only have 2 units in an army anyway.
The weird thing about ogres, just on a tangent, is they actually cost more in the ogre army. They cost 110, and you go, why? It's an army of ogres, and now I have to pay more.
Exactly,
for my
exactly the same rules.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Ogre balls.
I don't know why.
I've got one again.
Yeah.
Right. Next, trolls.
Trolls, infantry. 5 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armor save, 3 stands, 110 points. You minimum none, maximum 3. Trolls have a rule. They're stupid, so they give a -1 command when they're getting ordered, and they have an invulnerable grade. With some trolls, they get that -1 command, but they also have regeneration, so that after moving stands, trolls can regenerate a wound after hits, have been done. So say your combat did 2 wounds to trolls, your combat resolution, and then they gain a wound back.
Trolls are good.
Trolls are good.
But the -1 command is bad.
In the fluff, I don't think I need to explain what trolls are. Trolls are exactly what you think they are.
Although it's easier to handle here than it would be with orcs.
Yes.
Orcs.
You've got better.
At least you've got command 9 to work with.
If you're going to use trolls in a Chaos army, because you don't have to use them, because other things can do work as well, I think you bank heavily on trolls or not at all.
The interesting thing about Chaos is it's got so much heavy-hitting infantry, it really doesn't need trolls.
No, it doesn't need trolls.
No. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, next one along, Marauder Horsemen, Cavalry, 3 attacks, 3 hits, 5 of armour, 3 per stand. I don't know why I keep saying 3 per stand, just assume it's 3 per stand. From that one, and they're 90 points and a maximum of 4. I like them.
So these are not chariots.
So
these are your standard guys on horses instead. They're pretty good, aren't they?
But they're not chariots.
No.
So I had 3 units today, and that's because I couldn't have more than 6 chariots. Because for the extra 5 points, which we'll talk about chariots, you get an extra attack on the charge.
That's right.
And it's worth 5 points. Yeah.
Next thing, Chaos Knights. Cavalry. 4 attacks, 4 hits, 4 up armour with 200 points.
Yeah,
minimum 0, maximum 4. So you can have 8 units of Chaos Knights.
No, you couldn't.
No, you could, but like...
army, that and a general. You couldn't do the other things.
So why have they got the maximum 4? I don't understand. Anyway, really expensive. So they're the Chaos Warriors mounted. And this is, they're the heaviest cavalries in the game, aren't they?
No, there's one more.
What is heavier than them?
There's another ogre one. Rhinos, riders, or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But they're 250 points. Oh my god.
I mean, these probably overpoint themselves out of a list, really, don't they, Kelsey?
Well, what are you getting on? Well, they do a lot, but 200 points, oh my God, that's a lot of points.
Something I've done in the past, and you can do, is this is one of the few units in the game that if you're going to spend points, why not spend some more and give them a banner of shielding.
Oh, shut
up. So they go to 3-up armour and they're literally just... So you take this one unit of cavalry, which until they lose units, have a 3-up armour save.
Okay.
And you just like, have that.
Good against cannons.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, I don't know. I haven't seen people use Chaos Knights.
You could definitely build an army with them. Look, oh my God, you'd have your breakpoint would be ridiculous.
Yeah, a bit low. But this is how you get it high. So yeah, this is Chaos Hounds.
Now these are my favourite things.
I'm going to tell them about it first. Tell the people what the stats are.
All right, so my favourite things: cavalry, 3 hits.
Snipe.
It's yours. Go again.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah,
you go.
No.
You get a bit of. You do it, sir.
Okay, so Chaos Hounds: 3 hits, 3 attacks, no armour, and they are 30 points, and they are minimum none and maximum 2.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Why would you not take 4 of these?
It was how you get the break point up.
What's 2 break? They can do stuff. They're not nothing.
They are cavalry.
They've got 4 attacks on the charge.
Yeah, they're cavalry. They just have that no armor save. So
what?
I mean,
let them die.
You commit them, they'll probably die. But they can do things that cavalry can do.
Just try and get that bone of chaos or whatever on them. And do billions of attacks. They're fantastic. I really can't believe they're only 30 points.
They seem to be costed for the army list they're in.
I think they should be 45 points.
They seem very cheap for what they are, you know, like points wise. But I think that is because they're in the Chaos Army.
Okay, maybe. I don't think there's an equivalent anywhere else.
What I'm saying is, if you can take one unit from one army and you compare it to a unit of another army, like these are the same point as goblins, and Chaos Hounds are just better than goblins a lot. But they're in the army list they're in. Like, if you follow, like, points cost isn't just stats.
No. Mm-hmm. But it seems to give them an easy way to get their break up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Right, Barry, you better talk about the next one.
120 points for 4 units of those.
Yeah.
120 points.
Yeah,
why would you not?
It's good. No. I think you would.
You would, absolutely.
So you better talk about this next one.
So Chaos Chariot. Chariot, 3 attacks, 3 hits, 5 up armour, 95 points, maximum of 3. You'd probably take 6.
So fluff-wise, these are Chaos Warriors who are running around in chariots instead. They've dropped a point of armour, strangely, but I think that just represents lack of numbers and like overall. But they are strong. I mean, Barry went for 6.
Because that's the most you can have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He would have had more if you could have more.
Yes, I would have, without any doubt. Mm-hmm. Because, you can run 2 of them for the same price as the Chaos Knights. And although they're obviously less resilient than the Chaos Knights, they put out twice the damage for the same points.
Yep.
And this game's all about damage at the end of the day.
Yeah.
You can mitigate how much damage you're taking back by use of characters and flanks and stuff, but you need to be able to put out damage, and these guys put it out in spades.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's when you see Chaos Armies in tournaments, the chariot spam list is probably the one that's most common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just the way it's got it. But strangely, going back to like armies with access to normal knights, I think I'd still rather have my normal knights. I like the resilience of the 4-up save. 5-up save just... Your units get worn out too quickly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd rather do slightly less damage, still good damage on the attack, but be around a bit longer.
Yep.
Because these guys did get worn out quite quickly in the game. They all went, apart from one unit.
Yeah. And that is, again, that's common. You've got to weather a chariot's charge and then hit them on the return.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Next.
So, we have Harpies. There's 3 monster types in the Chaos list. 2 attacks, 3 hits, 6 up armour... 65 points, minimum 0, maximum 1. Harpies are based, their rule is the base is infantry on the rather than the short edge like other monsters, and harpies can obviously fly. Now, you're taking them because they're units of flyers, but they ain't good flyers.
No, they're cheap though.
Yeah, they're cheap.
Again, and a list which has got expensive stuff, it's good to have cheap stuff.
Yeah. So
2 units of these, cheap.
2 units of these.
130 points.
These with the Chaos Hounds are building your breakpoint.
And these definitely did work. If you can't throw them into the front and expect them to do anything.
No.
But if you can get them into a flank or position them behind, they can definitely
do well. A core rule of Warmaster is flank is a massive combat modifier, isn't it? And Harpies can flank just as well as anybody else. So
yeah, but unlike stuff like Eagles, which you chuck into the front,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't chuck these into the front of anything.
Yeah, no, because they won't get enough attacks.
No.
Mm-hmm. But harpy, and they, and harpies are like some weird, twisted chaos creatures that are scavengers by nature anyway. Great. So it makes sense they pick. They can't fight fairly.
Dragon ogres, monster, 6 attacks, wow, 4 hits, 5 up save, 250 points, and they're 1 per 1,000.
So you would take 2 units every
game? No, no units. No units for me, sir. As good as they are, no thank you.
So fluff-wise, dragon ogres are a half-breed of dragon and ogre, and they made a deal, basically they made a pact with Chaos to like cooperate with them in order to exist, like continue existing. So you can get Shagoffs, which are like massive dragon ogres.
Massive. These are big enough, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, but they're not in Warmaster.
Okay.
They're in the fluff. I mean, 250 points is a lot for what they, but they do get.
But these are, yeah,
6 attacks, so that's eight attacks each on the charge. So a unit, that means you'll get 24 attacks on the charge, won't you?
Are they don't cause terror, do they?
No, so. But they really should. Like,
that's enough, man. What do you want? What do you want? Yeah. So 24 attacks. But the problem is that once you start going down this rabbit hole, you've got smaller break.
Yeah.
And as soon as you start having a smaller break, you're the one that gets flanked.
Yeah.
Instead of the one flanking, you're the one that gets flanked.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we...
And these being flanked, what are they going to do? Like, 5 attacks? Because you're only engaging one stand.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you'll roll them up. The thing is, it's like dragon ogres, chaos knights, even like trolls, for example. I mean, if you're taking some of them, you're cutting your breakpoint down. So you might want to build a list to have, for interest, one of those 3 or something. But you couldn't afford to have many because you just have no army.
Or you don't go the cavalry route and you just build a lot of infantry and then you've got room for these.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just a different build to what I did, obviously.
The third monster is a Chaos Spawn with 3 attacks and the only ranged attacks in the Chaos list.
Did he notice them?
With 4 hits, 3 up armor save, 110 points for 1 stand, and they have no minimum and a maximum of 2. They have some weird rules. They cannot be given orders in the command phase unless they're part of a brigade, but they don't count as units for that brigade.
So you can have 5 in a brigade?
No, as in, like, they're not maximum 4 brigade rule, is they don't count for that.
So you can have each could be the fifth in a brigade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or more.
Or more, because you have more than one of them.
You can, for every one spawn, for every non-spawn unit. So the example given is 4 Chaos Warriors and 4 spawn is a brigade of 4 units.
How many points is that? Oh my god!
That's your army.
That's 600. Yeah, that's 1,040 points. Jeez.
They cause terror, and they have a range of 15, and they can shoot in any direction.
Okay.
Which still doesn't make them worth taking.
Oh, they cause terror, though, yeah?
Yeah, they cause terror. I mean,
got 3 upon a save.
They're only going to be in a list if you've done heavily infantry, and then you might have 1 or 2 of them dotted around. You know, the thing is, their shooting attack's pretty much irrelevant because you can't get any more shooting attacks in the list, so on its own it does nothing, really.
Well, it might take a stand. It might take a hit.
It's, I mean, they're only there to be alongside. The thing is, they're a double-edged sword, aren't they? Because they're expensive, in an infantry list where you're going for numbers, these are going to cut down your numbers, but they need infantry to work.
Mm.
But they can't, they're nothing on their own.
So you think about, oh, well, maybe they're bringing terror. Are they bringing terror?
They're bringing terror.
So for 110 points, you get terror, but then 80, what's that, 100 points, I could take another dragon.
It's not terror in a character that affects the whole profile of the unit.
Dragon.
It's one stand.
Yeah.
And so the terror isn't the bubble it normally is. And the Chaos Spawn in the fluff, they are people who've devoted themselves to Chaos and done something wrong, like ran away at some point or didn't win a fight.
And that was a punishment, yeah?
That's a punishment.
Get as a spawn.
They get mindless.
Get as a spawn.
Yeah.
What? They have the normal 3 set up for characters. We have a general, he's a general, command 9, 125 points. Hero is normal, command 8, hero, 80 points.
Exactly the same as other armies.
Sorcerer, command 8, 90 points.
Yeah, good sorcerers, good wizards. There's one mount, which is a Chaos Dragon, which is for 3 attacks at 100 points, gives you terror as well, and flying. And a Dragon Breath, actually.
And Dragon Breath. He's good.
Yeah, 100, yeah.
You're definitely going to take at least 1.
Yeah, I think so, because you want that ability to affect. Yeah, like, go with the harpies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, put it in the flank with the harpies.
So characters are regular. We'll just talk about their command. A command 9 general and 2 8s is not bad.
It's very vanilla. Yeah, very vanilla. Nothing different.
You know, it's middle of the road. It's, you know, it's not weak. It's not strong.
Yeah.
And the Chaos Spells.
Spells are fantastic.
Yeah, they've got a good spell selection. So we have Boon of Chaos, a 4-op to cast, which does +1 attack for every stand in the unit, including characters that have joined the unit.
And so, the sorcerer.
But the sorcerer's got to join the unit to cast
the spell.
That's
not happening for me. And that's the I'm not winning the game. Ranges. I'm winning the game. Yeah, I'm putting this in.
Yeah, so it's a last turn spell.
Yeah, because the next one though, Anger of the Gods. Now this I spam to death. Although I didn't get it off very often. So Anger of the Gods. Basically, what it does.
Four plus to cast. Range 30.
It's range nothing because it's on the
affects enemy within 30.
Yeah, so you cast the sorcerer casts it on himself. And anybody that tries to order within 30 centimetres of the sorcerer, or the units within 30 centimetres of the sorcerer, gets -1. Mm-hmm. So you can move into that bubble, you can move out of that bubble, but that bubble's annoying.
Yep. It's a negative command penalty that can be good in all sorts of ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're being brave, you could put them behind the lines, I guess, and do it. If you really wanted to mess them up.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
I mean, of course you're a sorcerer, but God, it would mess them up.
If you really want to play it strong, you send a unit of harpies in the back, sorcerer joins them, cast this spell, and you've got -2 command and anything near. Jeez, I mean, that might be everything.
Well, it would certainly annoy them. I love this spell. I think this was the spell I cast the most. Well, yeah. Not that I ever got it off, but yeah. This is the one I tried the most.
So, Rage of Chaos, next spell, 5-up to cast, range 30. And
this is a signature spell.
Now, okay, so what you cast it onto a unit, and you can roll as many dice per stand. So you can roll a unit of 3 stands left, could roll 3 dice. You add that amount of extra attacks.
Roll them one at a time.
You add that amount of extra attacks to the Chaos unit for each round of combat. My God. But if you roll doubles, you're... Any doubles, you're hitting yourself with these attacks.
But that's only one off. You only hit them once.
Not every round.
So
right.
Just a one-off. If you roll...
Yeah, so I struck only once the first round of combat. Yeah, that's true.
It's still bad.
But, okay, so this spell, basically, I think it's the best one in the Chaos list. So,
well, I think Angry with the Gods is better, but...
Okay, so what you can do is you can throw one dice. If you cast it, you just throw one dice affect you. Okay. And it's a good... Like, you might roll a 6 with that dice, and that could be amazing. If you send in like a unit of expendable stuff like Chaos Hounds. And you're like, well, they've charged knights in the front, they're probably not going to win. Then I cast this Rage of Chaos, I roll 3 dice, I get a score of 17 or something. No, that wouldn't work.
10 would be average.
Yeah, you get a score of 10 with no doubles somehow, and then you've got extra 10 attacks.
So you're doing like 19 attacks on the charge.
Theoretically.
No more than that, isn't it? 22 attacks.
That's
a lot of attacks. And each round you're doing another 10 attacks.
Yes, it's...
That you're alive.
It's, you know, it's not without risk, but it's, a massive combat swing indicator. Quite a buff.
I love it. I didn't get it off at all. I tried.
The thing is, if you rolled 3 dice and got a double, you've probably killed yourself, haven't you? Because the
attack, no risk, no reward.
Yeah, no risk, no reward.
You're only talking about 30.
Let's see, you wouldn't cast it on your unit of Chaos Warriors, would you?
No.
You'd cut for 3 dice. You'd cast it for 3 dice with your docks.
I was tempted on my harpies.
Your harpies. Yeah.
I was tempted. But well, not with a character in them.
Yeah.
So the final one, a Curse of Chaos. This is your average 30 range.
Yeah.
D3. Was it 3 shots? 3 armor save.
So no range 60 spell in the Chaos spells. Yeah.
And they can be driven back because it's one of those that says you can.
Yeah.
So I like the Chaos spell list. That's why I take 2 sorcerers.
Yeah, it's good. It's they've got a standard spell, a spell you probably wouldn't cast until the end, but then 2 very good ones.
And one thing to note is you can actually do the Boon of Chaos and the Rage of Chaos on the same unit.
Yes. Yeah. Because the rules of Warmaster is you can't have a unit affected by the same spell. These are 2 different spells, so yes, it can be affected.
So you could have a lot of dice on a unit. If you wanted.
Yeah, you really could.
And then you probably wouldn't roll 3 dice. Right. Okay, right, strengths and weaknesses of Chaos. I find this quite hard. Maybe I haven't played them enough. But I did put down some strengths. I said that you can build a lot of different lists.
Yeah, I mean, I would say the Chaos... The list is good for its range of choice. And you can build several different themes out of it, and you can. But its negative is that you can't include some of everything in a list, and there are probably some units, there are probably some choices here you just wouldn't really take ever, unless you were theming it that way. Mm. So you've got an army list that you can't have something of everything; you just run out of points by that point.
Mm-hmm. And one of the strengths of the next strength is very heavy hitting stuff,
yeah,
generally. But that's a negative as well, because it's got too much. Why do you need trolls and ogres and chaos warriors?
No, there's no balance there.
It's like, geez, man, I'm not taking all these.
Yeah, yeah. It's a chaos, for example, a chaos chariot spam list hits very hard on the charge. But that's all it can do. That is its game plan. It's going to come at you in the open and kill you.
Yeah, or try to.
Yeah. So we've also strengths are like the Chaos Hounds are a strength.
They're awesome.
And strong magic as well. We've highlighted that.
Yeah, especially Anger of the Gods. I mean, it can't be overestimated. Yeah. Like with Sherwin earlier, we talked about how crazy commanders can be. The concept, but to mess with command is the strongest thing you can do.
Probably, yeah. And then weaknesses, obviously, there's no... Well, aside from the spawn, which is not even worth mentioning. Like, and the dragon's breath is like, there's no range, there's no artillery. They are...
Very one-dimensional.
They are a one-dimensional army. I'd say they're a good army for a beginner, but in a way that they'll be simple to play, but they're bad because they won't teach you the nuances of shooting and... You know, etc. So, it's chaos. It's like they're always being one-dimensional in terms of game plan. It's like go for the enemy. There's no other options.
Well, unless you were playing one of those other gods like Sinich or whatever they were with all the horrors.
In Warmaster,
I've got no idea. Yeah, in Warmaster, yes. Mm-hmm. Let's not worry about them. So, yeah, that's the strengths and weaknesses. Why would you play them, Paul? What about your psyche would lead you to play chaos?
Well, I say they are a big reason you might play them is for the fluff. I built a chaos army and then I sold it to Rid. but the thing is because basically, I would own something. I would own every Warmaster army.
All of them. You know, like, I must own them.
I would. I would use them all, given infinite amount of time. But I saw it on deal on eBay when we started that for a guy was selling us some chaos very cheap, which I picked up. And then I was like, what would I want to do in a chaos army given any choices? And I'd want to go for the big break of marauders, like a lot of marauder cavalry, a lot of marauder infantry. And which is also the more fluffier build because that is what chaos generally are. And I started looking for cheap units and marauders, etc., and built this army up. And then, obviously, we want to encourage new players, and I was like, and Rid was wanting to get into it, and I sold it to him for a good mates rate. It's basically what I paid for it.
Okay.
You know, like, and that's, I think, so I could see there, like, I intended to paint it as Chaos Undivided, and, it was fun to use, that Chaos army. I enjoyed using it. So you would play. I think you'd play the army because you like that one-dimensional tactic of like, yeah, and they are strong. You know, like a chariot spam army is a very good army build.
Yeah.
You can build them different ways. I've seen a troll-heavy army before. Yeah. I've seen people try lots of chaos warriors. There's more than one way to do this, and in that one army list allows you several different builds as well. And if you're of the type that you just want to burn the world down for the world's sake, that's why you're playing chaos. But they can be very colourful as well, because like, each of those, like your chaos warriors, you could paint a unit for Khorne, you could paint a unit for Nurgle. You know, conversion options are massive in there, like because they're not following like a spawn model, for example. What does that look like? There's a given model. You do a couple, but it could be anything you like.
Yeah, it can have arms coming out of its head.
Yeah, it's like there's no like when like for example demons there's an accepted like this is what a demon looks like, but equally it doesn't have to. You know, it can be anything you like. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I think you play chaos for its fluff and simplicity in the game.
Okay. Chaos for me, I have no affinity with chaos. They don't really do anything for me. So
you don't worship chaos?
Not today.
Not today.
Although they've been quite forgiving to me. So
yeah.
Right, so future events, we've got trials, doubles.
Well, we've got to tier them, haven't we?
Oh, shit, yeah. Mm. I don't know enough to rate them anything other than two.
Yeah, I mean, maybe our system of tiers should have been more extensive than one, two or three. Like, maybe letters. I think they're tier two.
But to be fair, I don't anticipate there being a great deal in tier one.
No.
I anticipate the vast majority in tier two.
Yeah,
and not
we're talking,
very many
we're
in tier
talking
three.
Two-thirds, three-quarters of armies in tier two.
Yeah, at least. Yeah. So maybe like not very many, like three or four in tier three,
yeah.
three or four in tier one, yeah. and everything else tier two.
Yeah, I think realistically. And you know, these chaos would weigh into tier two simply because of their no ranged or artillery, like, you know, like, yeah, I think that what makes them tier one. Sorry, tier two. Sorry,
yeah, that's what no, I think tier two is reasonable.
Uh-huh.
Okay, right, so future events, Paul.
Okay, so. Got the Triwizard doubles.
What's it going to be now? Is it going to be Nippon and Doctor War?
That's what it's intended. Because of the 1,500 point and minimum maximum down, rolling around and down, yeah, I think Doctor War will do better than Empire at that scale.
Okay.
And but I'm going to, obviously, I'm painting them. They're all going to be part of the Empire look anyway. So,
yeah.
You know, but yeah, that's our current intention. I don't think we're going to get any doubles practice games in, are we? We might we'll play some singles games or using our armies, but we're not going to get doubles games in. It's just be very difficult to organise. Unless two people at our club want to challenge us to a doubles game, that would be quite...
Feel free.
Yeah, feel free.
So Bunker War Master 2 is coming up in July.
July the 2nd, which is good, because I recently had some news with the army, which I thought, oh, there's a potential for something to clash, but it was, you know, I had to wait, and that isn't going to happen so far. So, yeah, Bunker War Master 2 will be... Yeah, same in Colchester again. Three games of Warmaster.
Did we talk about this terrain?
We do. So the company. I'm just pulling up some notes here from when it was ordered. It was.
You'll see it on the website, I guess. If you look at the Facebook page, you'll see a picture of the table, and you'll see Paul's. It's like a
total
little
battle
Hamlet. Is it
Hamlet? Yeah, yeah. Basically, total battle miniatures make some lovely scenery at 6mm scale. They do different periods, what I've got here is from the medieval European period. So they're resin cast houses, which are very nice. But to be practical in the game, they need to be in a base overall, because houses on their own just doesn't really work, as apart from if they're impassable. So they need a profile to work, basically, of a lump of area of scenery. What this company also does is this, it's not, I don't know what material it is, but it, like rubber, you know, at the bottom.
It's latex.
Latex.
Yeah.
Base is for these buildings that have slotted in to go. So there's gaps for the buildings to stand in, and lovely little walls and hedges around, which makes them not only look nice, but a very practical piece of scenery as well.
Yeah.
Because like today we said, right, all of that area is defended, but it's like a woods, but it doesn't give the sight blocking that woods give.
Yeah.
So works perfectly then, because you can just remove the buildings and place them behind the stuff, because it represents a town or a hamlet that's full of buildings in there.
It's very nice.
Yeah, it's they're per they're
What's
like
the price?
This was 42.
Including now delivery.
No, yeah, because they do free postage when you spend a certain amount of money. And the way the website works, interestingly, is it gives you have to pay for postage, and then they give it you as a refund. Which I thought was a bit weird.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's like, that's strange. But, okay.
Maybe it's just a glitch in the system.
That's from their that's from Total Battle Miniatures' own website. Though, when my Pendragon order, which I was making, I wanted to make a unit, get a unit of ogres for a Dogs of War army, that kind of thing. And I'm using some historic guys to be Galloper guns. I'm actually using 18th century...
Like Napoleonic
to be that. Anyway, I saw that they sell Total Battle Miniatures stuff as well.
Sure.
Clicked on it, and it's like they've got all of that stock in there as well, but they don't charge this thing for postage, like their postage.
Well, they're the other people.
But what I'm saying is, I went and ordered another one from Pendragon.
Yeah.
I ordered the smallest one as well.
Right.
So this was medium. What we've got here is there's small, medium, large, like hamlet, village, town.
Right.
I ordered village. This is what you see here. So I've ordered hamlet as well, because town is big.
Yeah. Okay.
Town might be too big. But real recommend that as scenery. Actually, it's not going to break. And when I paint it up, I've sprayed it, like toned it, primed it in some colours here. It'll look fantastic.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Happy days.
Mm-hmm. And we'll go very nicely with our other scenery that we have been using on this table, of like nice and practical stuff. So good. Yeah, that is a great place to go for scenery.
Okay. So if you want to contact us, you can find us on Facebook at Warmaster Podcast Facebook page, or you can email us. We do read them and we do reply to them. warmaster.podcast@googlemail.com.
So what's next episode? Do we know?
What do we still got Vampire Counts kicking around.
It should be Vampire Counts, shouldn't it? Because we did Tomb Kings,
yeah.
And I'm guessing it's Vampire Counts, isn't it? Unless we think of something else, it's Vampire Counts.
Yeah.
And that's probably,
but you'll be playing that.
It's probably me playing Vampire Counts.
It is. Good for you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that was Warmaster Podcast episode 11 with Paul and Barry.
Thanks very much for listening.
are, dude.
The other.
It's cool. That's awesome.